I'm very happy to invite back Joshua McKinney. He's the author of two previous collections of poetry, which we've talked about on this show. Saunter, which was co-winner of the University of Georgia Press Poetry Series Open Competition in 2001, and The Novice Mourner, winner of the Dorothy Brunsman Poetry Prize in 2005. He's also the author of two poetry chapbooks and winner of the Pavement Saw Chapbook Contest. Joshua McKinney's work has appeared widely in such journals as American Letters and Commentary, Boulevard, Colorado Review, Denver Quarterly, Kenyon Review, New American Writing, and many others. Other awards include the Dickinson Poetry Prize and a Gertrude Stein Award for Innovative American Poetry. Joshua McKinney teaches poetry and literature at California State University, Sacramento. He's also a practitioner, of sword-based martial arts, which I hope that we'll have a chance to talk to him about. But for right now, let me introduce you all once again to Joshua McKinney. Joshua McKinney, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And congratulations on your new book and also on your reading this coming Monday evening, September 10th, at the Sacramento Poetry Center. It must be a pleasure to be able to share some new work with your hometown crowd.
It is. That's one of my favorite venues there at the SPC, and I'm sure a lot of friends and students and local poets, I'm hoping anyway, for being attendance.
That's great. Tell us about your new book.
Well, the title is Mad Curses, and it's published by Wordcraft of Oregon. Mad Cursive refers specifically to a type of calligraphy, Chinese and Japanese calligraphy, but I'm using the title as a kind of a metaphor to talk about some of my ideas about violence and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a practitioner of Japanese fencing, Japanese sword arts, for many years, and I've noted a real affinity between my writing practice and my fencing. And so this is a book where I sort of bring those things together as best I can.
I remember reading what Claudia Keelan had said about your book, and that it moves gracefully between beauty and destruction. And I guess the first is an element that we often expect in poetry, but less so the second. Can you tell us about, and, you know, the connection to martial arts might be part of it, but can you tell us how and why you were drawn to danger and destruction?
Well, I think for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that I think the martial arts are misunderstood in the West, and the notion of them being violent is sometimes inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
They were, of course, designed for combat and warfare, but historically it's been a long time since they were used for those things, and I consider fencing in particular, but I suppose any martial art would fall into this category, being like riding in that one is constantly striving for a kind of perfection which one will never achieve. And in the martial arts, as in riding, there's a good deal of daily practice that needs to be done and a good deal of repetition and a good deal of concentration on form so that one can be spontaneous when the need arises. So I see a lot of similarities between the two.
Do you find, insofar as one of your jobs is to help students find their voices and find, an improved comfort level with improvisation, do you find that teaching formal poetry, both reading and writing, has been helpful in those endeavors at Sexting?
I think it has. And because I believe that so strongly, I developed a course a number of years ago in prosody. I call it Meter and Rhythm, the poem's heartbeat. I needed a sexy title, so I stole it from a book by Alfred Korn, a fine poet in his own right. But I think many students, sort of steeped in a free verse tradition, if they study poetry at all, don't understand or don't think about language at the level of the syllable. And I'm not trying to turn my students into formalists by any means, but I find that when they pay attention to language at that level, it greatly improves their free verse. And some of the trappings of conventional verse, rhyme and meter, for example, students initially look at as if it were kind of a straitjacket to their self-expression. But if they can come at it in a slightly different way, they find it very liberating because it forces them to cast off the ego and the intention, if they let it. Because the form of the poem will sometimes determine what the poem wants to say and do.
Makes sense. We're joined by Joshua McKinney this afternoon. He's a professor of poetry and creative writing at Sacramento State University. And he has a new book out, released just last month, called Mad Cursive. Mad Cursive comes from Wordcraft of Oregon and was published, as I mentioned, in August of 2012. Tell me about the process of writing this book, Joshua, and how was it that you chose or that you were chosen by Wordcraft of Oregon?
Well, a book that I suppose represents quite a bit of work since the publication of my previous book, The Novice Mourner, in 2005.
Right.
Although I have another manuscript near completion, it seems that it never gets easier to publish books. and it was sort of just fortuitous that I published this one. Wordcraft of Oregon also publishes a new journal, which I read about in a magazine. I believe it was Poets and Writers or perhaps even the AWP Chronicle. That journal is called Phantom Drift, a journal of new fabulism. And they put out a call for some flash fiction pieces, and I sent them a few prose poems, and they took some. Then I checked their website, and I realized that they also published full-length books, but it stated that they were going to stop taking unsolicited submissions at the beginning of the year, and that was last year. So I quickly wrote to them, knowing that my name was fresh in their minds from the journal, and I asked if I could submit a manuscript, and they said yes, and I sent it in, and it wasn't too much longer that they said we'd like to publish it. So I really feel that some things dovetailed for me there in a fortunate way.
That's terrific. And I think an important lesson for your students and mine with regard to the different roles that we play, the different tasks that we have to take on as professional or budding professional poets. And that is to foster relationships and to constantly be mailing out work. Often to journals, and that you know, some poets wonder if there's a relationship between those journals and the published works. A lot of that relationship is determined by, I guess, the editors of those journals who are peer reviewing the poems, so that if you're looking at a book of poetry to decide whether or not to purchase it, and you look over all the places that have already accepted the poems, it's almost like they've already been vetted.
Yeah, I agree, and I've had a number of people, total strangers to me, when I met them, say, oh, yes, I know your work from such and such a journal where we published together or whatever the case may be, and I would add to your list of things that students should keep in mind, that if they want to have any kind of career in publishing, they just need to endeavor to persevere, as the saying goes, because this manuscript had been rejected multiple times before it was picked up.
And I know that this is something that you've explored as well, this idea of rejection. In a poem that I remember you read in Davis, and maybe that was 5 years ago now, where you brought together a great number of creative ways that people had said no to you.
Yeah, you know, that's strange, because that poem was a huge hit when you have writers in the audience.
Right.
Due to various computer crashes and the switch from floppy drives to flash drives, I actually lost that poem.
Oh.
And I've recently started to rewrite it.
Right.
Got out my box of rejection slips, and it'll be even longer this time, I'm sure.
Excellent. Well, if you're just joining us, my guest is Joshua McKinney. He's a professor of poetry at Sacramento State University, and he's got a new book out. It's called Mad Cursive. I know it's available on Amazon. Do you have a website that you generally direct people to if they're interested in purchasing your book, Joshua?
Well, it can be purchased directly from WordCraft of Oregon, www.wordcraftoforegon.com, and Amazon are probably the two best venues. I will say that I'm going to be selling copies of my reading on Monday night at the Sacramento Poetry Center, and I'm happy to say I'll be able to sell them at a reduced price.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear a public service announcement. And then when we return, Joshua, if it's all right with you, I'd love to hear a sample from your new book, Mad Cursive.
Of course.
Excellent. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And Joshua McKinney is on the live line. He has a new book out called Mad Cursive, and in it, he explores a number of topics that are at least tangentially connected to the martial arts. I was just talking about that very topic with my producer when we were off mic, Joshua, and Evan here was curious about the sort of discipline that you need to excel in the martial arts. And if you would say that that sort of discipline is analogous to that which you use to, for instance, write every day, for instance, to write when you're not inspired to write.
Yes, I think so. And I think that, you know, probably applies to anything, any activity that one would like to achieve a level of competence at so that you can do things spontaneously and without thought.
Right.
And the idea in martial arts, in the Japanese martial arts, what we refer to as mushin, no mind, and poetry, I think, are somewhat similar. I would liken that to, I suppose you could draw an analogy with Keats's concept of negative capability or Eliot's concepts of extinction of the ego.
Right.
I think they're related in that way.
Excellent. What is the poem that you've chosen to share with listeners this afternoon?
I'd like to read a poem. A number of poems in this book have a title that is simply their first line, and I would like to read a poem called In Accord with What Happens, What I Have Observed.
Great.
In accord with what happens, what I have observed in practice is, among other things, that brushes, armaments, and strong tea tried long enough in the hands, suddenly merge amusingly. I imagine then that death brings some little joke to elicit a last why or how. According to what's happening now, an honest answer is a baby's eye, wide with questions, and therefore without shame. Wisest, knowing nothing, it shows me how to die.
Excellent. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
With the focus on mortality at the end, it reminds me when we were speaking of the elements of martial arts that are not violent or combat specific, it reminded me of the sort of equanimity and peacefulness of consciousness that we associate with masters in different martial arts, and at least cinematically, that's also associated with kind of unflappability in the presence of danger or of death.
Yeah, don't you think? To a certain extent, I mean, I don't want to seem grandiose, but I think one needs this attitude when facing the blank page as well. I know, as a beginning poet, a younger poet, I was incredibly worried about beginning the new poem. It was frightening to me to write the new poem because I felt that it had to be better than the last poem that I had written. An incredible burden, and it wasn't necessarily the process of the practice, which was as important to me, but rather the product. And over the years, I've sort of changed my mindset about those things and tried to throw myself into the compositionary process in such a way that it was its own reward and to allow myself to fail.
Right.
And, of course, to draw another analogy to the samurai, they had to disable that they were already dead in a certain sense. So it makes them sort of ridiculous to compare that to the writing of verse.
Right.
But I think there's a similarity in the way one needs to approach every poem with total commitment in composition.
I remember from one of our previous conversations on this radio show when you were comparing the approaches of Saunter and The Novice Mourner, your previous two major titles, that looking at them glancingly, you might not expect them to have been written by the same poet because of the very different styles and I guess different attitudes towards what you were speaking of before, and that is experimentation and taking risks that you took when writing those two books.
Yeah, I sometimes think my eclecticism has been my own undoing as far as my career goes, but I can't help it. I'm just interested in trying new things, and I tend to mistrust to some degree the notion of voice as it is used in creative writing classes. More often than not, it seems to refer to obsessions with subject matter and consistency of style and subject matter. And the poets that I admire throughout their careers tend to evolve in very interesting ways, and where they end up is often very different from where they began. And that's the kind of writer I think I would aspire to be, and that's the kind of thing I do because it interests me. And I also like the idea of being able to write in multiple modes, sort of being a jack of all trades, if you will.
Absolutely. Well, if you're wondering who this jack of all trades is, if you've just joined us, this is Joshua McKinney. He's a professor of creative writing and of literature at California State University, Sacramento, and he's the author of three books of poetry. We've been speaking just briefly now of Saunter and The Novice Mourner. His most recent book is Mad Cursive, just published last month from Wordcraft of Oregon. Joshua, would you share with us another poem?
Certainly. I'll read a sonnet this time to try to show some of that eclecticism. Some listeners may be familiar with a very popular children's book called Harold and the Purple Crayon. The name of the author escapes me. But it's about a boy who has a purple crayon, and he draws the world in which he inhabits. He draws a boat, and he sails around in the boat, and so on. And this poem is called When Harold Grew Up. There came a time when dropping off to sleep no longer came easy. The straight path faltered, and his sense of adventure was forever altered by the limits of his making. Every shape suggested the same form, as though the map of the world were flesh, permanently tethered to that infernal hue, which grew, swelled, gathered as an appetite he could not help but keep. He drew legions of women, their proportions mirroring his whims, large-breasted and small, broad-hipped and twiggy, young and old, short and tall, all the same, all drawn in various contortions of submission. Do you remember who he was, oh, you who think imagination can save us?
That's great, and offers a kind of an ironic counter-narrative to how poems typically present the power of the imagination.
Yeah, I a little dark, I'm afraid, but I was interested in the notion of, you know, where quote, bad people come from.
Right.
They don't start out that way. So, yeah, and you're absolutely right. The imagination can be used to negative ends as well as positive.
Crockett Johnson is the author of Harold and the Purple Crayon, which and a 50th anniversary edition came out just at the end of the last century in 1998. So certainly a classic, but it makes you think about, you know, your poem does, how do the appetites of a boy and a man differ? And what sort of dangers come with the sort of absolute imaginative power?
I like that interpretation. And it's a marvelous, marvelous book, by the way. I had it and read it to my children, and they absolutely loved it.
I guess it also, and I'm just still struck by your poem, it also makes you think, makes me think anyway of some of what Freud said about wish fulfillment, and how is it that we negotiate internally with the id, ego, and superego, what it is that we want, how we're going to get what we want, what's keeping us from getting what we want, etc. So I really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, Joshua McKinney is my guest, and he'll be giving a reading this coming Monday night, that's September 10th at 7:30, at the Sacramento Poetry Center. That's at 1719 25th Street. That event is hosted by Sacramento Poet Laureate Bob Stanley. Well, Joshua, it's been a pleasure to have you back on the radio show, and I'm hoping that we can book you as part of the ongoing Poetry Night reading series as it continues into 2013, so that we can explore a little bit more your brand new book, Mad Cursive.
That would be marvelous, and thank you very much, Andy, for having me on your show.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.